And let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be now and always acceptable in our sight, thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I realised, of course, in my long list of announcements, I didn't welcome you, but you are very, very welcome to worship this morning. We read today in that rather long gospel about an amazing woman. A woman who heard Jesus make the most enormous claims. A woman who heard him tell her the secrets of which she might have been ashamed. A woman who believed in him and led others to believe in him. It is possible that her search for Jesus could have been disturbed in a couple of ways, but she persevered. And her response is, oh, so different from a response we read about in the chapter before this one, from a man named Nicodemus, a powerful, educated man who also came to seek Jesus. Two people, a woman whose name we do not even know, and Nicodemus. Now, this woman would have been something of an outcast among outcasts. She was a woman who had had six men in her life, the most recent of whom was not her husband. And she was a Samaritan. The Samaritans were a mixed race group based on the Assyrian conquerors from years before and the local inhabitants. And the Jews despised them. Remember that parable of the Good Samaritan? We have an organization these days called the Samaritans. The Jews listening to that parable in those days would have been shocked by Jesus saying that a Samaritan would behave better than a Jew, let alone a Jewish priest. There was a big rift between the Jews and the Samaritans. So much so that people traveling from Galilee in the north to get to Jerusalem in the south would take a long diversion often so that they didn't have to go through Samaria. But Jesus did go through Samaria. And he stopped at a well outside this village. His disciples went off to seek food and this woman came to draw water. She came alone. And it seems that there were only the two of them there, Jesus and this woman. Even today, a potentially problematic situation. And Jesus spoke to her. And though his words, "give me a drink," seem abrupt, the fact is that he spoke to her. He recognized her as a human. And this was astonishing because she was an unaccompanied Samaritan woman. And Jesus and this woman then had an extremely unusual conversation. Some of it might seem to our ears to be quite normal, but the entire episode was very, very strange. And to show you how amazing this encounter was, how amazing this woman was, I'm going to compare her with someone very different, with Nicodemus. In chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus. Nicodemus is described in the gospel as a man of the Pharisees, a ruler of the Jews. He was very, very learned. Jesus called him the teacher of Israel. He could almost be akin to a professor of theology from Oxford University, say. He was a very, very authoritative figure. He was a very powerful figure. And he came to Jesus by night. He came perhaps because he was afraid that if people saw him coming to Jesus, they might think that he was going to be a follower of this itinerant, traveling healer and preacher. But he came to Jesus. And this man, Nicodemus, started talking to Jesus with what I think is flattery. He said, "Rabbi," or teacher, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs unless God is with him." What a lovely patronizing thing to say. But Jesus answered the question that he had not asked. Jesus knew that the question Nicodemus had was how to be a follower of God, how to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus' answer in chapter 3 was in one sense ridiculous. Jesus said, "Unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus took this literally. He said, "So how do I get back into my mother's womb?" And Jesus quickly explained that he was speaking of spiritual matters. And Nicodemus then also said, "How can this be?" Nicodemus was trying to understand Jesus. He was trying to engage intellectually with Jesus. And Jesus gave a long answer. quoting from the Old Testament, talking about events from Israel's history, things that Nicodemus would have known. He mentioned those lovely words that we've used earlier before the confession. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's where those words come from. But then Jesus ended his encounter with Nicodemus with a challenge. He said, whoever does what is true comes to the light. And this story ended there. Nicodemus seems not to have responded to Jesus' invitation to come to the light, though he possibly did later, because he's mentioned at the end of the gospel. So this was Nicodemus coming to Jesus, relying on his own resources, his own intellect, trying to understand, to get a grip on Jesus. But the Samaritan woman at the well did not come with the smooth words used by Nicodemus. Initially, like Nicodemus, she took some of Jesus' words literally. But she kept listening. She kept asking. And she was not asking clever questions where she knew the answer. She was asking real questions. She asked if Jesus was greater than Jacob, a highly revered figure for the Samaritans and the Jews. She openly showed her thirst for the living waters that Jesus mentioned. She asked Jesus if he was a prophet. And when she came closer to the light, when her deeds were exposed, her deeds that she seemed to be overly reliant on having a man in her life, when she came to the light, she did not shy away from the light. She stayed coming closer and closer to Jesus. She had thought he might be a prophet, and now she realized he was more than that. And there was this moment when she said, give me that living water. She was responding to Jesus. And then at this point, Jesus' delightfully clumsy, gauche disciples returned. I can imagine coming in all chatting and suddenly seeing this encounter between Jesus and this woman. Jesus had put before her the truth. I who speak to you am he, the Savior. And then the disciples blundered in. We can see from their reaction just how strange they found it that Jesus was speaking with this woman. And it seems that this woman took advantage of the disruption caused by their return to slip away. She quietly slipped away. Why did she slip away? There are sometimes reasons why people slip away as they approach Jesus, why they don't take that final step towards Jesus. Sometimes people find that as they approach Jesus, they become troubled because Jesus shows a supernatural knowledge about us, about our lives, about her life. Jesus answers the deepest questions. And it seems to me that sometimes people who encounter Jesus, who start to find answers to the deepest questions that they have, questions they thought would never be answered, they sometimes find the answer is just too big. It's too demanding of them. And they slip away. And the second reason people sometimes slip away after encountering Jesus, the reason that this woman might have done, was the return of those followers of Jesus. As the disciples of Jesus returned, while they didn't say anything, perhaps they showed their prejudice. And this can happen sometimes when a person seeking Christ encounters Christians. I have seen it in talking to people. I have seen sometimes the disappointment as they realize that they were encountering Christ, that they expected somehow to be walking with angels, and they find themselves walking with me. And if as I walk with them, I stray from Christ, then what good am I doing? But she was relying on Jesus. She was focused on this man who had shown her knowledge and answered her questions. She slipped away, but she left her water jar. She slipped away, but she left the thing that was essential to her life. She left behind something vital to her. She left it behind because she didn't need it. She had encountered the living water. She had clearly already drunk deeply of that living water. Because after that encounter, she went back into her village and she said, come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. What an open, honest, vulnerable statement to make. Can you imagine somebody, some unkind people thinking, yeah, I remember some of the things you did, in a judgmental sort. She went back and she just said that most open, vulnerable thing. And many listened to her and many followed her. And they went to Jesus and they believed. And Jesus stayed 2 days with them. That little village had 2 days of Jesus Christ's time. And what do we take from this? If you are seeking, you are seeking Jesus. Primarily, you are seeking Jesus. And when he has found you, leave your water jar with him. You don't need it anymore. Leave it with him and share with others what Jesus has done for you. There's no point in drinking out of your own resources, relying on your own resources of one little water jar when Jesus is offering you living waters. And for us, for those of us who have encountered Jesus and who sometimes will be asked to share that faith, we too do not offer drinks from our own resources, from our own water jars. We lead people to the source of living water. We lead people to Jesus Christ. Amen.